Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you would stand up with me one more time. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and bless God tonight. Father, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, the uncompromising word. Your word is truth, and your word is life. It's spiritual food. It's spiritual nourishment. It is what washes our minds, clears our minds, and gives us the thoughts of God, and begins to fill our hearts with sustenance, with strength. We thank you that you're God of all creation, and you give us all things that we need. We thank you that there's not one thing that is needing in our lives, because you're the great shepherd to feed and guide and direct and protect us. We cover ourselves by confessing the blood of Jesus over our families, over our minds and hearts. We thank you for the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. We thank you, Lord God, for the Word of God, the living Word of God, our sustenance, our anchor, our light, our revelation. We give you praise in advance for what this Word will do. And all the people that are here and all the people that are watching and those who will watch by television or video or whatever they're watching, wherever they are, I pray the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Be seated. If you all turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, we'll read several verses out of there. Then we're going to go to Philippians 4, 6. We're going to read from the King James Version and the Amplified Version. And we're going to read some other versions, NLT or the New Living Translation. We talked about how to deal with anxiety last Sunday and how many people enjoyed that teaching. It was a great teaching. It was a great anointing here on that Sunday morning. I've hadn't had that for quite a while. That great anointing Sunday morning was here. And, you know, something was in the air, praise God. And it's still lingering here. And when I came in, I told Pastor Steve, I said, you know, it's like I was walking into a smoke, a fog. Something happened here, and praise God. There's a sweetness of God's presence here. How many people can see that, recognize that? There's a sweetness of the Lord. And, you know, of course, you need to recognize it. And if you don't, begin to recognize it, praise God. Amen. Begin to look around and see it. It's there, praise God. In your spirit, and if you're having trouble with that, we'll pray that your eyes will be open. Praise God. We prayed earlier today. My wife and I prayed before supper, around supper time. We prayed that everybody's eyes would be open. We prayed that your hearts would be filled with the power of God, that you recognize who you are, that you begin to receive the things that are given to us as revelation knowledge, that you begin to act on those things and be that which God has called you to be. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to our chapter. We're going to talk about worries and how to deal with anxiety, basically. We're talking about that. We'll continue to talk about that. And what we titled this message tonight is What to Consider Instead of Worrisome Thoughts. What to consider. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body and than raiment? Jesus is saying, don't take no anxious thoughts. When he says, take no thought, the actual rendering, exact rendering is that take no anxious thought. That means don't take on these anxious thoughts. And in Matthew chapter 6:25, I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, I tell you, stop being worried. Jesus is saying, stop being worried or anxious. And there's a parenthesis here, perpetually uneasy, distracted. How many people know that when you're full of anxiety and you're distracted, you cannot focus? And one of the things we gave you as a symptom of anxiety is that people can't focus their attention properly. I don't know if I've had anxiety problems before, and you just can't focus right. Your mind gets fuzzy, and all kinds of strain happens there. So this is really what he's saying here, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as what you will eat or what you shall drink, or nor about your body what you shall wear. Is life more than food, and the body more than clothing? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul talking to the church at Philippi, the church that God used him to establish, to build. He is the apostle there. He's a missionary at that church. He began to develop that church as God led him. He said, be careful for nothing. The King James says, be careful for nothing. Well, that doesn't sound very revelatory to us when we read it that way, because it doesn't make sense to us unless if the Spirit of God gave you special attention or learning on that. But that's why we have to take different versions of it, because it takes the exact meaning or the other meaning that we understand, the vernacular or the language that we know today. It says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up next month or so, or next couple of months. But we don't have to wait till Thanksgiving Day to be thankful. We can start thanking God every day, amen? So it says, while you're giving thanks, it says, let your request be made known unto Facebook. No, it doesn't say that. It says, let your request be made unto God. Amen? So you have to tell God what you have as far as your needs are concerned. So I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. It says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. So if you got some worries, God doesn't want you to worry about anything. But in everything, every circumstance and every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. It's just saying there, you know, new worries come up every day by the truckloads, and you have to do something with them again like you did before, and that's put them on to God. And so the main idea today of our whole message is this: don't do it. Real profound, amen? Don't do it. Everybody say, don't do it. Look at your neighbor and point at him and say, don't do it. Look at another neighbor and say, you too. Amen. You there that are watching on television tonight, you say, don't do it. So let me just say this, that nobody enjoys worry. Everybody, I would say, doesn't enjoy it. We all agree that it's not good for you or good for us, but still, a lot of people worry. They have become, so to speak, world champion at it. They win the prize every time. And so a lack of understanding of worry and what God says about it is the reason why that people do worry. They don't know that God says not to do it. And they don't know that they actually can't, they don't realize that they can actually do this. That is not worry. They think that it's part of life, that they don't have to, they have no choice to worry, and they practice it regularly and try to find more things to worry about. Amen? Can you say amen? Glory to God. How many people out there today? I can see you pretty good. I see my friend out there. Glory to God. Give that guy a pillow. Okay, yeah. So everybody say, worry is bad. So almost everybody understands that worry is bad. And as I mentioned, that people still do it. They still worry. Even a lot of Christians who read the Bible, who go to church, they still have a lot of worry. And so they're not any better than the rest of the world. So the world out there tells you, there's a thought out there that if you don't worry about me, if you don't worry about me, then you don't love me. Well, you should say, I don't worry about you. I love you too much to worry about you. I give you to God and I pray for you and believe God will take care of you. And so once we understand some things, we won't do this and practice this religiously. So worry is never good. And this worry business, anxiety business, will affect us in so many ways, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It'll affect you in every way you can think of. So the Bible says, take no anxious thought. Jesus said to his disciples, take no thought or don't worry. Literally, he says, take no anxious thought. Not just not to think, but don't take thoughts of anxiety. How do you know when you've crossed the line of being worried to wear yourself sick, or when you really worry, or you're just thinking about stuff. There's a line that you cross when you get over onto the anxiety part. Now, you've got to think about problems. You've got to think about them until you can solve them and take it to God and so forth. But there's a part of your life, in your life, where you have to understand when you've crossed over the other side where you got into worry. So we want to look at that a little bit. So we must think about things, but not to the part where we're anxious about things. If God tells us not to worry, so we can actually do this. We can't, understand that we don't have to worry. So God tells us why we shouldn't worry. He tells us how to not worry in this life. And as he teaches his people here, and the Bible teaches us, he says that he'd take care of everything. God is taking care of everything. He's watching over you. And he cares about every single thing going on in your life. God knows everything about you. He knows your heart. He reads your heart. And he can tell before you ask him a question, he knows what's going to come out of your mouth, the Bible says. I was reading that Psalm 139. If you read that little chapter, it's not very long. It tells you there that God knows everything about you. And you can't ever hide from God. How many people know that you can't hide from God? Even if you shut the lights, go under covers, he still sees you, you're there. And so you cannot run away from him. And so he tells us that we shouldn't worry. And why we shouldn't worry? He tells us how to not worry. So in recent days, there has been a number of individuals who are worry evangelists, so to speak. They tell everybody that they should be worried about everything, the mark of the beast and different things that, a virus, don't take the virus shot, and you're going to run into the devil. He's gonna. If you take the virus shot, that means you accept the 666, and all these kind of theories are running around, and they're trying to scare people and so on. Don't be afraid of that. That's all a bunch of nonsense. And so I wouldn't worry much about that. And people sometimes, they send me messages, and they talk about, what about this virus? If I take this antivirus thing, is the devil, I'm going to be sold out to the devil. I said, no, you won't be sold out to the devil. Just don't worry about it. Go have a few shots if you want to. don't worry about it. And so a lot of people are afraid. So there's a lot of people in recent years, or even days ago, hours ago, are going around scaring people about the end times and so forth, and future cataclysmic events, or even false scientific information about they're scaring people. People are getting anxious about it, about things. There's enough problems to be anxious than to be anxious about all these scary scientific, so-called scientific knowledge that people are possessing. And, the world's going to end pretty soon. And, it's not going to end pretty soon. You'll be around here for a long time before the devil shows up. If he does show up, you'll be gone anyway, because Jesus will take you away before that happens. So don't believe these so-called experts that perpetuate these thoughts of anxiety and what's going to happen and how bad it's going to get. And, sure, it's going to get bad, but Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So anxiety, when you talk about anxiety, so what is anxiety? Basically, anxiety is fear. That's what anxiety is. I wanted to let you know, everybody, anxiety is fear. It's fear. There are levels of fears, or there's different kinds of fears. You want to talk about different kinds? There's different kinds of fear. People are scared of heights, and they're afraid of insects, germs, germophobics, and there are people that are afraid of the dark. And I had one lady one time, she came to church, and she's afraid of anything that's black. And everybody, there's all kinds of fears. You can pick up any one you want, and use it for your glory or whatever you want. There's problems there. So there's different levels of worry. There's anxiety. There's cares, and there's different things like dread. You dread. Some people dread Mondays because Monday is the blues, and you have to go to work on Monday. I dread Mondays. I just don't like Mondays. I'm kind of scared Monday's coming along. So they have these little things that happen to them. And then you have full-blown panic attacks. It's another level, the real high level of fear is having panic attacks. And so God doesn't want us to have any one of those. And so anxiety really is about fear and fear. So we have to, I always tell my girls, my wife, one thing you're going to have to deal with in life is learn how to handle fear. You know, the 23rd Psalm says, I shall not fear. So it's up to you whether or not you are going to get fearful and you're going to take on this fear. So it's up to you what you do. But you have to learn how to do this. So you don't just say, well, I'm not going to fear anymore. Well, there's some things you need to learn yet, how to do that. So anxiety is nothing but fears being manifested through your thought life and through your emotions. There are varying degrees of fears, from dread to panic, as I mentioned to you, and we can all handle them just like Jesus said in the Gospels. He did not say that we should take on these anxieties. He said that we can enjoy His peace. This peace that passes all understanding. You can't understand it. He said, man, I have peace. I should be worried, but I have peace. So God wants you to protect you. Over in John chapter 14, verse 1, and verse 27, I'm reading the Amplified Bible. Jesus, talking to His disciples, He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, sometimes the word heart is translated, heart, you think it's your spirit, but sometimes the word heart is translated your mind. So you have to read the context of the Bible and understand that your heart, your spirit, doesn't get afraid. How many people that God has not given a spirit of fear? Amen? God has not given you a spirit of fear. In other words, you weren't born into this world when you were a little baby. You didn't born with being afraid. The little baby in there says, I'm afraid to go through this tunnel. I'm afraid of, there's going to be scary. It's going to be scary out there. It's going to be like cold and stuff. No, the baby doesn't ever had that, So babies, they're not born with fear. No one is born with fear. So science tells us that you have only two kinds of fears that we're born with innately with our physical life. Where people are afraid of loud noises, your body reacts to that, or you're afraid of falling if you fall. So those are normal two kinds that normally that people have. And so, but the rest of the fears, you'll pick this up through your lifetime, and people teach you what to be afraid of. People used to hear bad stories, scary stories. We used to gather around the campfire and talk about the scary story you can find. We want to be afraid. And then you're afraid for 3 days in the camp, and you don't want to do anything. You don't want to run to grandma's. Her house is just around the corner, and you don't want to go there at her camp. And so Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled, afraid, or cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust Him. Have faith, hold on to it, rely on it, keep going. Believe also in me, he says. So you have to trust God. Now, the word trust, it also means believe God. Trust also means act like you act like it's so. Trust means, you're relying on, depending on God. You have to do all those things. And so he says here, verse 27, peace I leave you. My perfect peace I give you. How many people know that God has given you peace? You got to put that to work. He's given you peace. Notice this. Not as the world gives it. The world can give you peace. A little bit of peace. A little bit of rock and roll. To take your mind off stuff for a little while. The devil, will offer different kind of peace. The devil will try to give you some kind of peace. He'll give you drugs, alcohol are some of the main things people get attached to. And after that wears off, it's still there. All the worries are there. All the troubles are there. So we need to learn, no matter how we escape, we'll always come back to the same thing if we haven't learned to trust God. Amen? So it says here, peace I leave you, my perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. What don't you understand about God telling you, Jesus saying, Don't let your mind get caught up in this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. He says, do not be afraid. So it's a choice we make when we get anxious or take on anxious thoughts and we get into a real frenzy. And so he says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Well, that's good scripture. I put that on as one of my statuses today. If you ever want a status, look at my thing. I'll put it on once in a while, show you there to give you something for the day. That's your gospel for the day, for the one day. Worry about natural needs. Now, everybody worries at some time about things they need in life. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture verse. You know, I read the Amplified version of Psalm 23. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd to lead, to guide, and feed me, and protect me. God gave us His Son Jesus to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, and to feed you. And so, Jesus said in the sixth chapter of Matthew, verse 25 and 26, we read verse 25, verse 26 says this, look at the birds. Everybody say, look at the birds. So that's what Jesus, it's kind of crazy, you know. He says, don't worry about anything, guys. He's teaching the people, don't worry about anything, guys. And everybody's listening to him. Then he says, look at the birds. And everybody says, what's he doing? What's he talking about? What's he going to go with this? So sometimes, you know, when you're teaching, you have to understand that Jesus used natural illustrations to teach spiritual truth. He says, and they look at the birds, neither do they sow or seed, nor reap the harvest, nor gather into crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? So Jesus compares you, us humans, people, with birds and how God meets their needs. These insignificant little birds that are flying around, the Bible says that God meets their needs. And he says, you're more important than that. And he said, you know, he's saying that, you know, if God takes care of those little animal or little bird like that, he'll take care of you. That's what he's talking about right now. So, you know, we want to learn about how not to worry. So he says, replace worry with thoughts about what God thinks about you. That's what he's saying. He says, Jesus, he says, put your mind somewhere else. Look at the birds. That's why people say, you know, when I get worried, I like walking to the bush and going to the camp or going fishing, because you get your mind off stuff and onto something else. You can't just decide, well, I'm not going to worry anymore. Well, it takes more than just sheer energy, human energy, to say, I'm not going to worry anymore. Just try and make me worried. And devil comes and shoots you another thought. Well, you know, it's one thing just to say, I'm not going to worry, but there's something more to it than just deciding not to worry. So, but the Bible says you have to make a decision to look away from your situation and look into something what God says about your need, about your situation. You choose. You have to make a choice not to be anxious and to look at something else, not just anything, but what God said about your case, about your situation. The more you look at your issues, the more you look at your symptoms, the more you look at your lack, the more you look at your failures, your deficiencies, your limits, and all your problems, the more anxiety, the more anxious you become. But God doesn't want you to focus on these things. The devil will send you thoughts of negativity all the time and utter evil thoughts, but you don't have to take time or take on those thoughts. If you receive those thoughts of worry, this will eventually kill you down the road if you live this way. It'll kill you, destroy your body, and internally it'll begin to rot out your system. Worry is fear, as we mentioned, and this stress itself from worry will eventually affect you to the point where you're sick in your body. I mean, science tells us that, when I was at the college studying about how to teach stress management, and it says 95% of sicknesses are caused by stress and worry. And I heard that it says 80% of the people in mental institutions are sick because of mental problems. They think wrong, and they get all worried, and they're afraid of the devil. They're afraid of what he's going to do. They have no choice, but he's going to just attack them, and there's nothing they can do. So they're scared all the time. When you're scared all the time, you know your body is pumping up adrenaline. And there's a run or panic, there's a run or fight syndrome happening in your body, just sitting there. So you have to know, you got to do something with that, right? So, I mean, just these are just medical, scientific things that they teach us in psychology and in medicine. Jesus said, look at the birds, look at the air. God feeds them, takes care of them. And you're more important than a bird. God sees us people more valuable than what his creations are. Birds don't work for stuff, and yet God still does something for them. And they don't have barns to put away food for the winter time, but God still takes care of them. And you don't see birds on the street begging for food in the winter time. They don't have little jackets on, and they're cold. When, you know, they got the earmuffs. No, God takes care of his birds, his animals. And so, you know, you think about that because we think about our thoughts need to be in line. That's why Jesus said, look at the birds. Next time you're worried, tell yourself, look at the birds. And there's something Jesus is telling us. And so, verse 26, he said, you are worth more than they are. You're more valuable than a bird. More valuable than all these other things that he, you know, mentions here. Worry doesn't add one single thing to your life. If you're a world champion warrior, you could be a world champion warrior and just worry about everything all the time, very classically. It's not going to make you a whole lot better. It's not going to win you anything with God. You're not going to be healthier and have more money. So don't worry. Who of you, verse 27 says, who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of his life? It's not going to add anything. It'll shorten your life. You know, how do you know when you cross over from just caring for stuff and then have anxiety, thoughts of anxiety? There's a point in it that we understand what happens over here. You can know this. This scripture in 1 John 4:18, Amplified Bible, tells us how we, when we cross over the line. Let's go take a look here. It says, 1 John 4:18, I'm reading Amplified. It says, there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear. Because fear involves expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. So when do you take on a worry? Remember what Jesus said? You know, when the Bible tells us anxiety stems from all every kind of fear, when that thought that you take on starts vexing you, this thought starts attacking you, it starts troubling you, starts speaking negative things about all the other things. You can tell now you cross over the line of not just thinking about stuff, but now you're taking on thoughts of anxiety. It's causing you more strain and more stress. And the more you think about something, the heavier it gets, the more life gets more cloudier. Your thinking starts getting more fuzzier. And so the Bible says perfect love, or complete love, fully developed love, expels fear. So that's how you get rid of it, is to understand that God loves you and that he's not going to let anything happen to you. Amen? And, you know, you see little children there, you would not let, If somebody tried to harm your little child, you'd do everything you can. You'd fight, even though those people are stronger than you. You'd fight with every fiber of your being for that baby or that child to be protected. Amen? That's what you do. Now, God is bigger than you, stronger than you. He's going to do everything he can to make sure that nothing happens to you. And so the reason why people get in trouble, you know, they say, oh, God didn't protect me. Well, it's because you let yourself get into a mess of anxiety. Listen, you cannot pray the prayer of faith and be full of worry. You cannot be full of stress and concern and be in faith at the same time. Now, there can be thoughts on the outside of you. You can, but you don't have to take them on. It's up to you to say, no, I ain't taking that on. It can be out there. It's not in you. You're not taking it inside of you. But it could be thoughts out there. Just because you have a thought of a fear doesn't mean you're scared. It's that it comes to you because the attacks will come to you. Just tell yourself, I ain't taking that. I'm not going to take fear. I'm not going to take anxiety. I'm not taking anxiety. I remember Brother Hagin one time, his mom lost her mind at some point in her life because she got worried so much. She took on lots of worry. Her dad, Brother Hagin's dad, left his mom, and he was mean to her, her parents told her not to marry Brother Hagin's dad. And so she married him anyway, and this man gave her so much trouble. She got into so much worry, and then she lost her mind. It just affected her so much, and she did different things. And so Brother Hagin got fearful because of it. So what happened was another situation that happened that he recalled, that a medical doctor told this lady, because she was losing her mind too because of fear. And so what he told her to do, when these attacks come onto you, tell yourself, I am not going to worry. I'm not going to get any more attacks. Tell yourself that. I'm not going to get any more attacks. I'm not going to worry. You must tell yourself that, because God has given you the power. He said, well, how does it work? That's what he did. He's giving you the power. It's a spiritual law. Just got to hook into it, hook up your heart to it, hook up your mind to it, and say, no, I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to take anxiety attacks. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says it. Psalm 23 says, I shall not fear. So you have to make a decision that I'm not going to be afraid. You have to make a decision, like Jesus said, don't have anxious thoughts about anything. Like Paul says, have no worry about everything, but give it to God. So you have to make a decision that this is the last day you're going to fear. I told myself, I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I don't care what it is. No matter what it is, I will not be afraid. Everything's going on around me, I'm not going to be afraid. And after I've said those things, made those confessions, the devil comes to me and says, what's going to happen next? The devil comes to you. He always tells you this. What are you going to do about it next? What's going to happen next? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? He'll always come to you and tell you about that stuff all the time. He'll always remind you there's a bigger trial coming. You got away this time. You got away with that stroke next time. But I'm going to tell you, next time it's coming, you're going to really get it. I'm going to get you. I know you got a sore leg, but watch this. There's something else happening coming here. So he'll give you these things, So I know you lost your husband, but what's going to happen to next? Something bad is going to happen to all your children, or whatever it is. And so you have to understand that he keeps bringing stuff onto you. So think about God's love, how much he loves you. That's how you counteract this, and how he cares for you, and how he will take away your fears, and how he doesn't give fears. When you take on anxious thoughts, you question God's care for you. Remember Mary, when Jesus visited, Mary and what's her name, Martha. He went to Mary and Martha at their house, and Lazarus, that's the brother Lazarus there, was it Martha was working so hard? Was it Martha? Martha was working so hard, and she says to Jesus, don't you care that Mary should be up here helping me. She's questioning Jesus about Jesus caring for her and her needs and how hard she's working. Yeah. Huh? And look at me, I'm working. Why don't you tell Jesus, tell them to help me? Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. She's picked a better thing to do. She's going to listen to the word here and so forth. And you remember the disciples, they're with Jesus on the boat. And Jesus said, we're going to go across the lake. Now remember, Jesus said, let's go across the lake. He didn't say, we're going to join halfway, boys. No, he said, we're going to cross the lake. That's what Jesus said. And so they're on the boat. I don't know, they weren't rowing, but they're going across the boat, across the lake on the boat, and the storm came. And they got all frightened. And Jesus is right there, like some of us right now. Jesus is with you. He lives inside you, and you're frightened. He's there. He's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. The Bible said he's a very present God in time of trouble. He said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And yet we don't meditate on this long enough for it to dwell inside of us to make it a part of us. It's just information. The Bible shouldn't just be information that you remember. It should be a part of you. So that when something comes against you, this whole thought comes against it. You know, Holy Spirit is inside you, and what you come against, he'll come against whatever you come against. He's your helper. And if you don't do anything about it, he's not going to rise up and do something about it. You have to do something. I remember Brother Hagin one time, he said, you know, I'm in prayer, and all of a sudden Jesus appears to me. And Jesus said, I'm going to teach you about demons and devils and evil spirits. And he begins to listen. So Jesus begins to proceed to teach him. And all of a sudden, this demon appears in between him and Jesus. This demon starts jumping up, yakety, yak, yak, yak. And all of a sudden, a puff of smoke goes up, and he couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't read lips because the devil was yelling, Jesus got drowned out. His voice is drowned out. And pretty soon he couldn't see Jesus. And he's getting upset and saying, Jesus, why doesn't Jesus do anything about it? And so he yelled at the devil in frustration. He said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And the devil fall down on the floor and start trembling and shaking. And Jesus looked at Brother Hagin and he said, if you hadn't done anything about it, I couldn't. And he shook his head 3-4 times, asked the same question. Jesus, no, I misunderstood you. He said, if I didn't anything, couldn't do anything about it, and he had this, he didn't think that Jesus said, I couldn't do anything. And he said, no, you wouldn't do anything. No, Jesus said, I couldn't do anything. And he said, no, you wouldn't do anything. You couldn't do it. Then I got confused here. And Jesus said to him, I said I couldn't. And he disappeared. He said, oh, I understand now. And sometimes when things are happening in our lives, you let things happen in your life. Things are going on in your life, but you're allowing that to happen. You have more control about what goes on in your life than you realize. You're not using your authority like you should. So this situation over here, we're talking about worry. He's talking about when we worry, he uses Solomon. You know, Solomon was a good dresser. He was not worried. You know, God will, you know, close these the fields more better than he closed Solomon. He's more concerned. He's concerned about you. So if God, he says in verse 30, God closed the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow it's cut down, thrown as fuel to the furnace, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. Then he says, take no thought of anxiety in your mind. Don't worry about anything. He'll take care of you. You're more valuable than all this creation. And when we stop worrying, we begin to honor God. We begin to honor him. When you stop this, you begin to give glory to God. You begin to honor what he says. And he wants you not to worry. Verse 31 says, therefore, take no worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what shall we eat? He said, don't take it on. Don't take on anxious thoughts. You have the power to control your mind. Notice that what he said there as well. Not just taking on anxious thoughts, but saying, notice that he said, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying. You know, when you start worrying, you begin to say things. You begin to say wrong things. I always say this, you know, you got to be able to say the right thing at the wrong time. Because you could be saying wrong things when wrong things are happening. You say, oh, this has always happened to me. I always get sick at this time of the year. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants me. Well, that's crazy. There's got to be one person in the world likes you. You know? It'd be crazy to say that. Nobody wants you. My wife always reminds me. I said, nobody does. Nobody always does this. He said, you always say that. She reminded me for many years. You know, you know, sometimes we're the only ones, eh? We're the only ones that think a certain way. So you have to refuse to dwell on thoughts of anxiety. Refuse to speak negatively. Verse 32 says, for the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek after these things, but do not worry. There he goes again. Do not worry, for your heavenly Father, notice this, knows what you need. God knows what you need. Over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, he says, God knows everything you need, even before you ask him. So he repeatedly says, don't worry. I think he's trying to tell us something. So, verse 33 says, first and most importantly, aim to strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things to be and being right, attitude of his of character of God, all these things will be given unto you. So, we take on worries because we receive negative thoughts. The main thought of what I'm going to say, according to these scriptures, is that you have a choice whether to take on negative thinking, whether to think when the devil shoots negative thoughts at you. It's your decision right there to reject it. You either reject this or take it on. Jesus said, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. That means you can reject it. The Bible says, resist the enemy, resist the devil. James 4:7, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You say, well, how do you know it's the devil? Anything that's going to kill, steal, and destroy, thoughts like that, is the devil. They said, no, I will not receive it. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself right then and there, I will not receive. Everybody stand up, please. Thank you, Father, for this word tonight. That anxiety is not a way of my part of life. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.